Primetime replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Time to talk tech with our tech contributor Wong Kai from the Straits Times. Now, as the Wuhan novel coronavirus continues to spread from the eastern city of Wuhan, experts from other parts of the country are now being called in, literally using 5G cellular technology to support growing diagnostic and treatment efforts. So, Kai, is 5G being used for remote treatment? How is that being done?
So this is a really interesting real-world test of 5G networks, because just to break it down, 5G is supposed to carry much more data than 4G can. So you can have almost real-time data transmission in high resolution. And it seems that China is going ahead on this point. So Chinese telecom equipment provider ZTE, they announced yesterday that it has launched a remote 5G diagnosis and treatment system between West China Hospital and the Chengdu Public Health Clinic Center of Sichuan University. Mm-hmm. So that is, well, according to them, the first 5G remote diagnosis of this new, the novel coronavirus. And from Chengdu, from Sichuan, the company will then expand the service to Wuhan as the public health crisis continues. So just to give you an...
Is this a version of telemedicine?
It is, actually. If you think about it, telemedicine is essentially, you know, remote sort of diagnosis, yes, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And seeing from the map that Chengdu and Wuhan are separated by a 14-hour drive, that is a very good test of 5G, you know, real-time sort of video transmission and all that. So basically, experts from West China Hospital, they are already providing video consultations for the Chengdu Public Health Clinic Center. And this whole area basically forms a central node for Sichuan's health system, which provides assistance to 27 hospitals with coronavirus patients. So after they offer this service to people in Sichuan, once they start testing, then they will start expanding it to patients in Wuhan, which is nearly 1,200 kilometers away. It's a great test, I think, a great real-world test of 5G. And I mean, as of now, 5G is really, you know, something that none of us have seen or used, in mm-hmm. fact. Mm-hmm. So this clearly is a very, you know, a very practical test of 5G and how it can actually function in such a high stress situation like this, mm-hmm. like real-time medicine.
Right.
Sad though, the circumstances that yeah. have come up that required it to be
exactly.
tested in this manner.
Yes, I mean, we obviously could have found better ways, but then again, when you put technology like this in the middle of, you know, in the middle of a crunch, then you really see how it can perform under stress.
Absolutely. Well, China's adoption of 5G is really remarkable. Are they way ahead of the rest of the world?
I think definitely way ahead of the curve. As we know, Huawei and ZTE, Chinese companies, they firstly have, I mean, their 5G equipment is much more affordable than the rest of the world. So,
but hasn't South Korea already adopted 5G technology as well?
Exactly, but I don't think it's as widespread as China, because in China, 5G has basically outpaced adoption in other countries thanks to a combo of government subsidies and top-down coordination, as well as significant availability of locally produced 5G networking hardware from companies like Huawei and ZTE, as earlier mentioned. And, well, we all know about ZTE's ban that 2018 by the US government that nearly led it to collapse. But somehow, you know, it's managed to find its footing again, and that their hardware, you know, all the Chinese companies, has since enabled Chinese carriers to launch 5G services in somewhere between 30 and actually 50 cities in China, which is actually no mean feat, given that, you know, the geographical size of China. In fact, the country expects to have 5G in every prefecture-level city by the end of the year.
Mm. Speaking of sizable countries, India, the second most populous nation, has dethroned the United States to become the world's second largest smartphone market, according to new research. Kai, how many smartphones were shipped among those three countries, let's say India, China and the US namely? What's fueling the rise?
Oh, we're looking at quite a significant number. So India has now overtaken the US. And last year, in 2019, they shipped about 158 million units. 158 million units, and US shipments only numbered 153 million. Well, when we say only, we're comparing these two countries, yes.
Okay.
And China is obviously the world's largest smartphone market. But can you take a guess how many units were shipped in 2019? Hint, it's nowhere near 158 million.
Up or down?
Up. All the way up.
All the way up.
All the
Double,
way up.
300 million?
Yeah. Oh, we're looking at 395 million to be exact.
Oh, wow. You're good.
Spot on guess. Mm. 395 million shipments in 2019.
Wow.
But actually, if we look at the numbers on an annual basis, China's smartphone industry is actually witnessing a decline, while the Indian smartphone sector grew 7% year on year in 2019. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, you know, everything from economic slowdowns to people basically just not upgrading. So the US has been overtaken partly because a lot of people aren't simply just upgrading their phones.
Right.
Because phones nowadays, as we all know, we're all holding a very, very powerful unit, a very powerful smartphone in our hands. And wealthier countries like the US, for example, people can afford to buy, you know, iPhones, the latest Samsung Galaxy devices and all that. And these phones have basically reached a point where people simply don't need to upgrade every year. If I didn't have to upgrade my phone every 2 years, I would have stuck with my phone for a long while.
Yeah. Okay. That's happened to me a few times already. You sort of skip the versions and let's wait.
You skip the S version if you're on Apple's iPhone,
something,
for example.
Yeah.
Right.
How else is India's market then different from the US and Chinese markets? That it's not mature, so people are scrambling to get more phones?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, the US is basically a mature smartphone market driven by users looking to upgrade, which has actually slowed since people hold flagship phones for a longer period of time. In contrast, Indian demand is coming from both first-time and repeat buyers. And also, you know, Chinese brands like Xiaomi, Vivo, OnePlus and others, they are, you know, doing quite a good thing in India whereby they are putting flagship level components, so really good cameras, really good screens, into phones that
more affordable.
More affordable, exactly. Mm. Sort of mid-range pricing, let's say about 300, you know, even less than that. Mm-hmm. And the components inside these phones are not even, they're not bargain basement, they're really very good. And these companies, Xiaomi, Vivo, OnePlus, they together held a record 72% share of the Indian market in 2019 compared to just 60% a year ago. So clearly what they're doing is working. Mm-hmm. Putting all these great components into phones and, you know, selling them selling them cheaply.
Well, we're talking to our tech contributor Wong Kai-yi from The Straits Times. Well, attention Android users, if you're jealous over the AirDrop feature that your iPhone using friends are enjoying, I mean, Android's upcoming AirDrop style sharing feature, it's called Nearby Sharing, will soon be here. I mean, Kai, for all of us as benefit, can you explain what is AirDrop firstly, and what will Android's take on it be?
And I gotta say, Nearby Sharing not sound as cool as AirDrop.
Don't sound as cool as AirDrop, doesn't it? Doesn't it? AirDrop is like, hey, could you AirDrop me your photos, please?
Can you Nearby,
Share me? Not so cool.
Doesn't have quite that snap, that ring to it, right? Yeah. I'm sure we all have you all used AirDrop before.
So
basically, you turn on that feature on your phone. Someone nearby with another iPhone just
will sort of pop up, and
the link pops up, and then you just throw the photo over to the other person, and you're done. It takes what, all of 10 seconds?
It's absolutely. Yeah.
Right. It's incredible, very useful, and admittedly, one of the things that Apple does very, very well. Mm-hmm. And Android has yet come up with its own similar version of AirDrop, simply because there are way too many OEMs involved in this space. Everyone has their own take on something, and I think simply Google hasn't got around to implementing something like this yet. But Nearby Sharing, for better or for worse, such a name, is built right into Android's operating system. It doesn't seem to be in a finished state just yet, so there's a leaked video online. The video shows this process, this transfer process, failing at least once when trying to send a video file. But when once the transfer starts, it appears quite it's fairly quick transfer over Wi-Fi. So the feature says that it's designed to work best when the two devices are within 1 foot of each other, so a meter and a bit. But there are also options to restrict your device's visibility if you don't want strangers to be able to send you files using the feature. So, you know, unwanted photos, videos, of all that, you can easily turn that off, just as you can with Apple's devices.
Oranges to oranges, if the comparison is made, how is it stacking up, you think?
I think it should be pretty simple. I mean, I'm not Google, so I can't say for sure, but seeing that there's already a video and a process in the works, I'm pretty sure that this is going to be coming out quite soon. If you're honest, Android really hasn't had a lot of features that Apple has for a long time, and vice versa as well. But hopefully, Google makes it as easy as AirDrop is. For lack of a better word, AirDrop. a photo over to your friend.
And maybe rethink and get a pithier name. It needs to be pithy. Or no one's going to be able
to
snappy, talk
like,
about
yeah,
it.
Could you nearby me your photo? Maybe they will shorten it to that.
And always, Wong Kai-yi has a tech fact for us. What do you got?
So yesterday, January 28th, was Data Privacy Day. If you had all gone
but just,
to...
I think every day should be Data Privacy Day.
I was about to say just that, actually. Yeah. Data Privacy Day should be every day. If you had gone to the Google search page yesterday, you would have seen this little line at the bottom saying, today is Data Privacy Day.
No Google Doodle.
Ah, no Google Doodle, interestingly. That's right. I missed that. So the purpose of Data Privacy Day is to raise, well, basically awareness and promote privacy and data protection best practices. And it's actually currently observed in the US, Canada, Israel, and 47 European countries. Interestingly, nowhere in Asia.
Oh. What do they do, though, on that special day, so to speak? Like, really completely
take stock of data protection practices, tell their users to be more aware of, you know, what's going on with their data. And even Google gives you a option to see how much data they have on you, which is a very interesting deep dive. If you have the time to look through all your Google settings, they probably know more about you than you do yourself.
Absolutely. True. That's our tech contributor, Wong Kai from The Straits Times, with the latest from the tech space this week. And Kai, thank you very much once again.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.